Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I will not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. Give God your best love, would you? Here and at home. Amen. Well, open your Bible with me today to the New Testament, to the book of James, chapter 1. We won't put it on the screen yet, but James chapter 1. Here we are in April. Can you believe it? Here we are in April already. We've got a brand new series. Now, I'll tell you why I like to teach through series. Because you that are educators, you realize and know this very well. We learn better through repetition. We learn through repetition. And I like series because we learn more and get more out of going to church, I believe, rather than just random subjects, a different subject every time we come. So I like to teach in the series format because you and I will get more out of it, and I want you to get something out of coming to church. Amen? It's going to help you. I'm here to help you today, by the way. Amen. So we're beginning a brand new series. It's called Do the Work. Oh, my goodness, Pastor, I don't want to hear about work. I work all week long. Well, you're going to love this because this is going to help you in your Christian walk, your journey with the Lord. Do the work. Actually, we're going to talk about how to be a doer of the Word of God. How to be a doer of the Word of God. Because, you know, we're not blessed in hearing the Word, but we're only blessed in doing the Word. And I want you to live the blessed life. In fact, you realize that the gospel is all about the blessed life, right? It's good news. And I want you to have a blessed life. I want you to have an abundant life because the more you have, the more you can do for God. The more you have and the more I have and the more we have as a church, the more we can do individually and corporately as a church. That's why God wants you to have an abundant life and God wants you to be blessed so you can do more for Him. Amen, church. Boy, that's good because some people are anti-prosperity, anti-blessing, anti-increase. They think we're just going to want to pour it all on ourselves. Not true at Church on the Rock. We know we're blessed to be a blessing. We want more so we can do more for the kingdom of God. Help more people build the kingdom as kingdom builders. Amen. So we're going to talk about do the work. I believe it's going to bless you and help you, empower you, about being a doer of the Word of God. How do we get God's Word to work for us? How do we get this incredible tool that God has given to you and me, called the Bible. This incredible tool, it's not to set, on a coffee table and just sit there. It's not just to be on our smartphone. It's not just to be by our bedside. It's not to be in the back window of our car. Right? We want to get it to work for us. We want to get the Word to work for us. We not only want to see it in the Bible, we want to see it in our life. So this incredible tool, you know, Stephen sitting over here, my son, and a couple years ago, maybe not quite 2 years ago, Stephen said, Dad, I want to get you this incredible tool. I have one. I want to buy you one. It's kind of like those, I don't know what it's called, but those echo things, you know, that thing where you can put in a room kind of like a little tower and you can talk to it, right? And it'll obey you. Wow, Shazam, yeah? And you can talk to it. And so Stephen said, Dad, this is really cool because you can put it in a room and you can walk into the room and you can say, for example, play Bob Dylan, you know, and you got to serve somebody. And he said, Dad, the music will just come right on. I said, how cool is that? That is amazing, Stephen. And so Stephen, he went out and blessed his dad and bought me one of those and brought it to the house. And, oh, man, what a wonderful tool. Great, awesome, incredible. I mean, I love music. I mean, you know, and so I just go in there and just talk to it, and it obeys. But I didn't know how to make it work. I didn't know how to turn it on. Come on, somebody. And isn't it frustrating when you got all this technology or you got a new tool, you got a new toy, and you don't know how to make it work? How many Christians go to church week after week and don't know how to make the word work? This incredible tool that God has given to you and me. So that's what this is all about. Sound okay? On how to be a doer of God's word. So we're going to go expository teaching. That's when you take a verse by verse and you extract principles to build your life upon. So let's go to the book of James, chapter 1, James 1, and let's begin with verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word of God. That would be the Bible. That would be scriptures. Which is able to save your soul. So I want to extract a few things. I want you to see that this verse is telling us I have to prepare myself to receive something from God's word. I have to prepare myself before I go to church or small group or my own devotional daily. I have to prepare myself if I want to see something in the word that God wants me to see. If I want to get a word from the word for my life, I have to prepare myself. So number one, notice he says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and naughtiness. What is he saying? Get rid of the clutter and whatever is clogging the channel between me and God. Get rid of it. So if you're a note taker, I would write that down. Get rid of it. So that's why some people don't get as much as they could out of church. Because during worship, they don't understand that worship is all about getting rid of strife and worry and fear and prejudice and racism and depression and oppression and addiction and bondage. Worship is all about coming before God and getting our eyes off ourselves and our problems and other people and on Him. And in worship, in His presence, all of our enemies melt and vanish in God's presence. So some people, you know, they come to church, they don't get anything, and not our church, but a church in a galaxy, far, far away. I'm promoting all these movies today. They should pay me for this. Amen. And so some people, I don't get anything out of church. I'm not going to go to church anymore. Church is dead. Church is irrelevant. It doesn't speak to me. It doesn't touch me. And could it be that there's a bunch of clutter, sin? Could it be there's some disobedience, there's some oppression, there's some anxiety, there's some worry, there's some fear, there's some arguing going on, some strife going on, and it's cluttering the channel between them and God? And could it be that's why they're not getting anything from the Word, a Word that they need, because they're not getting rid of everything in their life that's wrong, everything in their life that doesn't align with God? I can't receive from God if there's clutter, if there's things clogging my channel between me and Him. So before I can receive anything, when I read the Bible or I hear the Bible, I've got to, number one, get rid. I've got to get rid of anger, strife, resentment, fear, anxiety, disobedience, and sin. Can I have an amen in the house? So I go to church, I don't get anything. Well, there's something clogging, something cluttering, something in the way. Because God wants to speak to us more than we want to speak to Him. So what I have to do, according to the scripture, according to the directions, if I want to enjoy this tool, if I want to get something out of the Bible when I read it, if I want to be fed, if I want to grow, if I want to get stronger, the number one I have to get rid of. Whatever I'm holding on to is keeping a schism between me and God. Amen? So he said, get rid of all filthiness, sin. Get rid of all disobedience, anxiety, worry, fear, oppression. Get rid of it, naughtiness. And then number two, he said, and receive. So notice, that's number two, receive. I can't receive if I don't get rid of. So when I say I don't get anything out of church, I want everybody that comes to our church to get something. I want everybody watching online today, I want you to get something. I want you to get something, a word from the word that I'm teaching that's going to help you in your journey with God, this thing we call Christianity. How many people started out strong but didn't finish strong because they said it doesn't work? The Bible, it's irrelevant. It's a bunch of men. They just wrote it. It's not inspired. It's not anointing. It doesn't pertain to me. That's you know, that's Christian. That's a fad. That's old-fashioned. That's their view. I've got a world view. Oh, they're in trouble. They're in trouble. They're headed for a train wreck big time. So if I want to receive, when I come to church, something from the teaching, if I want to receive when I go to small group, if I want to receive when I have my own daily devotion, before I can receive, I got to get rid of. I got to get rid of everything that's naughty in my life. Don't you love the King James? Everything that's not right, everything that's wrong, I got to confess it. I got to repent, and I got to give it to God. Then God says, I'm ready to receive. How cool is that? I'm ready to receive. And then number three, look at this. He said, lay apart, that means get rid of, all filthiness, all naughtiness, and receive, look at this, with meekness. Meekness. What is meekness? Well, it's being teachable. We know that. Meekness is being a lifelong learner. Meekness is surrender. So notice, I can't be a doer of God's word without surrendering to God's word. How many people do you know in your walk with the Lord that are Christians that there are areas of their life they won't surrender? No wonder the word isn't working. No wonder they don't know how to turn it on. No wonder they don't know how to get a word from the word. No wonder they're bored reading the Bible. Because there's some things in their life that's standing, that's clogging, that's cluttering the channel between them and God. So number one, we've got to get rid of everything wrong in our life. We've got to prepare our heart. Number two, now we have to receive. Now, receiving would be opening your spirit. Can I have a witness? People who come to church with a closed spirit, a hurt spirit, an offended spirit, they can't receive. To receive something means you have to open up. Come on, somebody. You can't close your spirit. You can't be critical and judgmental and religious and hard-hearted. You can't have a wounded spirit and a closed spirit and not let God in. I've got to receive. To do that, I've got to open my spirit. So number one, I can't be a doer of God's word until I get rid of everything wrong in my life. I do that through daily repentance. And number two, I have to receive. I have to come to church, like Pastor Kim said, and I know y'all are, and those of you at home, I know y'all are. You're receptive. Your heart is open. You didn't come to Church on the Rock today to judge us, criticize us, critique us, point out what we do wrong. Because if whatever you're looking for, you're going to find it. Come on, somebody. So how do I make this tool work for me? So that I don't get frustrated, don't start doubting it, don't start wavering, then backslide and leave church, leave God, leave the fellowship. Well, number one, I have to get rid of whatever's wrong in my life. I got to make sure I'm right with God every day. And then number two, I have to receive. What is that? I've got to open up my heart. I can't wait till the end of the service to open up my heart. Because if I come with a closed heart, I'll leave with getting nothing from the teaching. Oh, I didn't get anything out of that. That was boring, didn't pertain, wasn't relevant, didn't help me a bit. That's a closed heart. It's a closed heart. Because every time we open the Bible, this wonderful tool, God wants to speak to us. Yeah. So get rid of, number two, receive. Number three, what is this? Meekness, right? So another word for meekness is not only surrender. It's not only a teachable spirit, is not only what you and I have a lifelong learner, right? But meekness would also be respect. How many people do you know that don't even respect the house of God? They put junk in the seat. They leave junk in the aisleway. They put gum under the seat. They mark up the walls. They break light fixtures. They plug up the toilets. Come on, somebody. They mistreat God's house. You see, our facility team around here, I love them and I appreciate them and I honor them. And whenever I see our facility team, did you know they go between the services and they make sure there's mints in the bathroom and the candles are there and everything is there, the toilet paper and the soap and all that stuff. They do that between the services on the weekend. Because this is God's house. I always tell our facilities team, thank you for taking care of God's house. See, I can't receive from the Bible. I can't get anything from this wonderful tool, as great as it is, if I disrespect it. If I don't even bring it with me to church. That means I don't honor it. I don't respect it. I don't reverence it. Oh, just give me an hour and a half praise and worship. I don't need the Bible. Yeah, I'm tired of the Bible. It doesn't relate to me. I don't understand it. It's boring. What is that? Disrespect. Disrespect. I can't get anything from this. It won't help me. It won't change my life until I learn to respect it. Respect the time of the teaching like y'all are doing. You're, with your Bibles open and taking notes on your smartphone or old-fashioned like me, a yellow pad. Or whatever you're doing. But that shows honor by not being on your phone right now and just checking out the YouTube and all the Safari. But by being focused and your kids seeing you focused on taking notes and your Bible is open and you're following along. That shows respect. So am I helping anybody today? Because I want people when they come here, because you know, it takes time and effort and money today to even get to church, right? And I want to maximize our time. And I want to maximize your time every time you open the Bible. Because when I hear people say, I don't get anything out of it. And it doesn't speak to me. It doesn't help me. Well, this is the reason. There's stuff in their life that's wrong. So you got to get rid of it. Am I teaching the word or what? Number two, then you got to receive. You got to open your heart. You can't be against preachers or Christians or black people or white people or red people or old people or young people. We can't be prejudiced or racist or judgmental or critical or religious. We've got to open our heart and receive. Open our heart, open our spirit. Then number three, in order to get something from the Word of God, before we can ever be a doer of the Word, we've got to respect, reverence, and honor the Word of God. We got to teach our children. We got to have family devotions. We need to pray with them every night. We need to read the Bible to them. They need to see us reading the Bible. They need to see us honoring the Word of God. And so it goes on to say now that we've done that, that we got rid of the sin and the guilt and the shame and the pain and the condemnation and the fear and the anxiety and the worry and the oppression. Then number two, we've opened our hearts. Don't have a closed heart or a bitter heart or a hard heart or a mad heart or an angry heart or a blaming heart. Our heart is open. Then number three is respect. Respect for the teaching time. We don't get up and leave early unless we have to go potty or go to work. And then they say, well, church, I don't get diddly squat out of church. Wonder why? Wonder why I don't get anything from the Bible. But we're finding out how to correct that, just that, and make this wonderful tool work for us. Okay, so now he says you're able to receive the engrafted word. Now, that word engrafted means planted. So the Bible won't help me till it's planted. And it's planted, when we're gardeners, many of you are gardeners, when you plant something to grow in your garden, you got to make sure the seed gets in the soil. The Bible says your heart is the soil, I'm the sower, and this wonderful tool is the seed. As I'm teaching right now, if it can't get in your heart and in the soil of your heart and planted there, I can't help you. It won't help you. It won't change you. It won't make a difference. Not until it's planted. Not until it's planted. Not until it's planted can it help me. And it can't be planted until I get rid of the sin, the offense, the prejudice, The judgmental attitude, the critical attitude, the oppression, the fear, the anxiety, the worry, the stress, the stinginess. I got to get rid of all of that. And then I got to open my heart to receive. And then I got to respect the Word of God, because I can't receive from something I don't respect. I can't receive from a person or a thing I don't respect. So if I don't respect the church, no wonder I can't get anything from a church service. Am I helping anybody today? So notice then, now we've done all that. We've set ourselves up for success. Now when the Word, and we are a Word church, we are a faith church, we are a diverse church, we are a charismatic church. Come on, somebody. We're a full gospel church, and we're not ashamed of it. Now, but when the Word goes forth, I want it to get planted in your heart. Planted in your heart, because until it's planted, you're going to leave the same as you came. So the engrafted Word, the planted Word, and what is it able to do? It's able to save your very, it can make a difference. Let's just paraphrase it. It'll make a difference. But it can't make a difference till I get rid, receive, respect, and it get planted in my spirit. Then it can save me. Then it can change me. Then it can transform me. Then it can make my marriage better, my health better, my career better, my calling better, my life better, my spirit better. But it can't make me better until first I get rid of the things I shouldn't be doing in my life. Okay. Verse 22. But be ye what? Now, here's what they taught me. You know, Scripture interprets Scripture, and here's what they taught me, that verse 20 comes before 21 and 21 before 22. So notice now he says, be a doer. I can't be a doer until I surrender to the Word, till I submit to the Word, till I respect the Word, till I honor the Word, until this is how I feel, but this is what the Word says, so I'm going to obey the Word, right? Obedience to the Word. And by the way, let me just throw this out to you. Obedience is the spirit for increase. Obedience is the spirit for increase. So where there's disobedience, there'll be lack. Norval Hayes, I don't know if you remember, Norval Hayes used to come to our church. Norval's in heaven now. But Norval said, where there's lack in your life, there's always slack in your life. Now, I say it this way, obedience is a spirit for increase. So if I'm not experiencing increase, there's areas of my life that there's disobedience. All I have to do is repent of that disobedience and commit to a life of obedience. Now I know why some Christians don't increase, because there's areas of their life they're not obeying God on purpose. Am I helping somebody? Pastor, I don't know if I can agree with that. Obedience is the spirit for increase. Let me give you a scripture. Deuteronomy 28. Don't you love Deuteronomy 28? Chapter 28, Old Testament. First half is blessing. Last half is cursing. First scripture says, if you obey. If you what? Obey. If you what? Obey. Then these blessings. So there I get it. Obedience is the spirit that brings increase. And how about this one? Isaiah 1:19. If you be willing and obedient. So are there areas in my life? Well, I think there are in all of us in my life. We're working on it, right, church? We haven't arrived. But think about it. There are areas in my life where I won't obey God. There will never be increase there. Because obedience is a spirit that brings increase. So I want to pray and obey. I want to hear and heed the Word of God. I want to hear and obey the Word of God, and it will bring me an abundant life of increase. So he says, now that you got rid of, now that you opened your heart to receive, now that you respect the teaching of God's Word, he said, now you can be a doer of the Word. He said, be a doer of the Word, and what? Not hearers, deceiving your own self. Let me unpack that for you, because I think I can really help you right now. Those of you that are at home or in the office or in the cell or in the emergency room, we're glad you joined us today. Let me help you. Let me unpack this. Notice, if you're a hearer and not a doer, you're only deceiving yourself. What does that mean? Deception. I don't understand that, Pastor. Let's go to the next verse. No, let's not go to the next verse yet. Let's unpack this. So if I'm hearing but not doing and expecting to be blessed, I'm deceiving my own self. When I think, now don't miss this. This is worth church. This is worth you coming out, you watching online. If I think hearing is enough, I'm deceived. If I think going to church, small group, daily quiet time, just hearing the Bible is enough to bless me, change me, and transform me, I'm living in deception. Hearing is not enough to change my life. Hearing is not enough to transform my life. Hearing is not enough for me to have a blessed life. If I think just hearing it will bring transformation, I'm in deception. That's powerful. How many people do you know that love God, go to church every week, and they never change? And they never get better? And they never get happier? And they never have more? But they love God, they go to church, and they'll tell you, man, I've been going to this church for 35 years, but they're as miserable now as they were 35 years ago. Why? Hearing is not enough to change your life and make it better. Hearing is not enough. And so many people think, if I just go to church, my life will get better. No way. Going to McDonald's doesn't make me a Big Mac. Going to White Castle doesn't make me a belly bomber. Come on, somebody. How many people do you know, they think, well, I go to church, it doesn't do anything for me. They're living in deception. They bought into a myth. Just sitting in church, they think that's enough. It is not enough. Just hearing is not enough to change my life, heal my body, pay off my debt, help me with my call, finish my mission. It is not enough. For those who are hearers and not doers, they're living in deception. They've accepted and swallowed a myth. It's not enough. Let me go one step farther. Knowing is not enough. Now, you know, I'm a pastor and I love people and I love the church. That's my mission. I believe the church is the hope of our community. The church is the hope of the world. It's the only hope for the world, the church. I believe it. But, you know, I've been here 35 years, and I'll hear people say to me out in the lobby, well, Pastor, that was a good sermon, but I know that. Knowing doesn't make you better. Knowing Scripture does not change your life. I know it. I mean, I've heard that. I know. If I think just knowing it is going to heal me, make my life better, pay off my debt, help me with my call, I'm accepted and swallowed a myth. I'm living in deception. I'm frustrated because this wonderful tool isn't working. So I backslide, I leave church and say, it's all a bunch of bunk. Hearing is not enough, my brother and sister. Knowing is not enough, my brother and sister. It's in doing what you're hearing. It's in doing what you're knowing. You'll be blessed. Are y'all with me? I mean, I tried that church stuff, took my kids. You know, I tried it for 3 years. Didn't do nothing for me. I mean, I knew everything the preacher said. I knew more than what he knew. Knowing is never going to help you. Well, I heard pastor teach that 3 years ago. I know that. Don't say that. Because knowing is not enough. Hearing is not enough for Christians to live the blessed life. I'm not blessed in hearing. I'm not blessed in knowing. I'm blessed in doing what I'm hearing, doing what I already know. Am I helping somebody today? I hope I am. I hope I'm answering questions. I hope I'm showing you how to turn on the echo and talk to it, and it talks back to you. Amen. Praise God. All right, so be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving. This is the deception. Just going to church, just serving as an usher, just serving in the youth, just serving in the children, just serving in the nursery, just serving on the parking lot. I think that's going to help me. It will not. Hearing is not enough. Knowing is not enough. Serving is not enough. It's doing what you're hearing and knowing. That's where you're going to see your life change. So say it with me. Do the work. Okay, next verse, verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word, and you're not a doer, you're a hearer, you sit under the word, you go to church, but you don't practice it, you're like a person beholding their natural face in a glass. Glass here means mirror. I hope y'all looked in the mirror before y'all came to church today. Amen. And those of you who didn't, y'all stayed at home, you got a good excuse. Amen. The Bible is likened unto a mirror. What do y'all do when you look in the mirror? You adjust, right? You move some stuff around. You adjust. So every time we sit under the word, we should be taking action. We should be adjusting, correcting, moving things around. Amen. So he goes on to say, next verse, verse 24, for he beholds himself and goes his way and forgets what manner of person that they were. Verse 25, watch this now. But whoever or whoso, say I'm a whoso, whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty. Now, what's the perfect law of liberty? It's the word of God. It's this wonderful tool. It's the Bible. It's scriptures. Whoever looks into the Bible and continues. Continues, what would that be? Daily Bible reading plan. Continues, what would that be? Studying it. What would continuing be? It would be having a ritual, a routine, a plan of not just looking at it, but you're continuing in it. So it says, and you continue therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but you're a doer of the work. Would y'all look up here with me for a second? Notice it says doer of the, not word. Doesn't say word. It doesn't say word. Now we're talking about being a doer of the word, but I want to draw your attention. It says be a hearer and not a forgetful doer. Be a doer of the work. It doesn't say be a doer of the word. Y'all see that, family? My brother and sister, y'all see that at home? It says be a doer of the work. What does that mean? Being a doer of the word is hard work. Being a doer of the word is not easy. That's why most Christians are not doers of the word. They take the easy road instead of the less traveled road. And notice it calls doer of the work. It does not say doer of the word, doer of the work. It's hard work when you're tired to lead your children and family in a daily Bible devotional. It's hard work on a Wednesday or Saturday or Sunday when life has been tough that week and you're dragging your children and your family to church. It's hard work to get up and get there on time and pick them up and then all you got to do the rest of the day, hard work. It's hard work to concentrate, be intentional, to speak the word and make your words work for you. It's hard work not to give in to the culture and to have a word view and not a world view. It's hard work to fight all hell, resistance, every demon, every evil person on the planet. It's hard work to go against your emotions and your feelings. It's hard work to rise above your circumstances and walk by faith and not by sight. My brother and sister, it takes a real man, a real woman, a real person, a champion to be a doer of the word of God. Come on, somebody, as the team comes out, give the Lord a big praise. That's why most Christians, they don't want to go to church. They don't read their Bible. They don't get anything from this tool. Their life never gets better. It's same old, same old. They don't have an imagination working for them. They're not looking forward to the future because it's not working. It's all bunk. But now we know why. Get rid of. Open your heart, receive. Respect the word of God and do the work. That's number four. Do the work. It's hard work. I'll be honest with you, this morning, I got up at 5:30. I didn't feel like getting up at 5:30. It's dark out there in them there hills. I didn't feel like doing that. I didn't feel like doing that, getting up at 5:30. I didn't really feel like, you know, getting my Bible out at home, going in my backyard in the dark, sitting there on the patio, reading my Bible, Gene, at 5:45. I didn't feel like doing that. It's hard work to concentrate, be intentional, and you want to get something out of your reading that you can apply in your life. That's hard work. It's concentration. That's focus. So it says, and do the work. What's going to happen? Next word, get the reward. You will be blessed. I wonder why I'm not blessed. I go to church. I gave tithe for 3 weeks. I served in the parking lot until Steve made me mad and to quit. You know, I tried. Didn't work for me, brother. I mean, let's go to the bar. It'll work if you know how to work it. That Echo, I know there's a different name for it, Stephen, but that Echo Tower that he got me, if I learn how to turn it on, work it, instead of cursing it, it'll work. And the Bible, it'll work if we do the work. Are you with me, family? And I want everybody that I pastor to have the reward of living the blessed life. I want you to live a blessed life. Now, let me give you 4 questions in closing, because I grew up in the church and nobody taught me this. Nobody taught me what I'm teaching you today. I grew up in the church. I didn't hear this my whole life growing up in church. I never heard anything like this. I just heard pray and obey. How do you do that? Break it down for me. I like it simple. Break it down. How do I do that? Well, be a doer of God's word. Well, how do you do that? 4 questions. Real simple. We'll continue this next weekend, but here's how you become a doer of the word. Whatever you're facing today, whatever you're going through, we all got stuff, right, church? We all got stuff because life's broken. But whatever you're in today, first question is you want to ask, where is there a promise in the Bible? Where is there a promise? Where is it found in the Bible that pertains to what I'm dealing with today? Maybe a physical problem, maybe a financial problem, maybe confusion, direction for your life, what to do with your life, maybe fear of the future, maybe you're having a hard time parenting, maybe your kids are going crazy, maybe your husband just left, your wife just left, they committed adultery, dealing with addiction. First thing is, find a place in the Bible where it's written. What does the word say? Find a promise. Then number 2, 4 questions. Then number 2, you ask the question, what does it say? When you're reading that scripture, then ask yourself, what is this really saying to me? What is it really saying? And I encourage you, you see me, I lead by example. I like to give different translations and paraphrases because it'll help you to understand what it's really saying in language of today. So number 1, where is it found? Where is the scripture in the Bible that I can stand on? Number 2, what is the scripture really saying? Number 3, what does it mean? Now, you find out what it means. This is what they taught me in college. You interpret scripture with scripture. You don't interpret scripture with a sinner. Hello, or a talk show host, or a disgruntled Christian. You interpret scripture with scripture. In other words, if you read the Bible long enough and continue, the scripture you don't understand, the next one will explain it. You saw me do it today, right? Verse by verse, expository teaching. If you continue in the book, we all run across scriptures we don't understand, like you know, deception for hearing it, not doing it. What does that mean? The next scripture explained it. Thinking that hearing is enough, it's not enough to change me. Knowing is enough, it's not enough. So the third question is, what does this scripture, what does it really mean? And in most of your Bibles, you have a cross-reference of scriptures in the middle column. It'll take you to scriptures that are cross-reference, and scripture interprets scripture. What does it really mean? And then number 4, how can I apply it? How can I apply this? How can I apply this scripture today in my life? And that's where you start to be a doer of God's word.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.